Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I titled the message, A Life Dedicated by the Flesh or by the Spirit. Born again doesn't mean what it used to. According to University of California, Santa Barbara researcher and author Wade Clark Ruth, one-third of Americans, 77 million baby boomers, identify themselves as born-again Christians. But only 55% of them, this is half of them, mind you, of those have any link to a conservative Protestant church. 50% of these born-again Christians say that religions other than Christianity are equally good and true. 33% of born-again boomers believe in reincarnation and astrology, a worship of the heavens and stars. Nearly 50% in America, born-again Christians, they say they are. Nearly 50% support abortion. Ruff says in his book, Spiritual Marketplace, Baby Boomers and the Remaking of American Religion, today's born-again Christians are united by emotions and experiences, not by shared doctrines and moral beliefs. That's amazing to me. Many Christians are operating off of their feelings, emotions, what it seems like, instead of what the Bible's foundational truths have to say for us morally and biblically, and what is doctrine. Guys, we got to get back, man. The only way we're going to be empowered through the Holy Spirit as born-again Christians is to be on fire for Jesus, man. It's the only way. It's the only way. And you know what? This morning, either we're dedicated to living by the Spirit or we're dedicated to live by the flesh. Well, what's the difference, Rick? We're going to get into that. Look at, as we pick up our study here in verse 5, look what Paul says in Romans 8. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, Paul lays it out pretty simple. I don't think I have to go to the original Greek to translate this. He says they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Okay? What is the Apostle Paul talking about here? Well, he's actually describing those who are saved and those who aren't saved. Here's the bottom line this morning. If you're living continually in the flesh, continually obeying the things of the flesh, and you profess to be a Christian. Now, I'm not going to say anything about that because only God knows your heart. Amen? I don't know your heart. But you profess to be a Christian. If that new nature that God has given you isn't bothering you over living in the flesh and obeying the things of the flesh, to put it simply, you must not have a new nature. I mean, think about this. How do I know this? Look what Paul says here, the last half of verse 5. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You see, a genuine believer has been given a new nature. That means that he or she can now yield to that new nature. Before I was a Christian, I just had the old nature. I yielded to it very easily. Amen? Got any sinners in here with me saying amen? All right, very easily. Well, it actually comes down to an act of the will. Here's what it is, bottom line. You want to yield yourself to God because you have that new nature. The flesh is describing the natural man. And Jesus was clear about this when he said in John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, the new nature, the Holy Spirit, born again, is what? Spirit. Very clear. The problem is, whatever way you want to cut it this morning, church, the flesh will always be the flesh. And you know what? You will never, ever, ever change it. It's a drag. It's a bummer. You will never change it. In fact, there is nothing that God has in his plan or in his purposes in the Bible to change the flesh. That's why you and I have to be born of God's Spirit. We have to be born again. You see, he gave us the power when we became Christians to empower that new nature to live the way he wants us to live. But you know, sadly, it's tragic. People I love, I see them living in the world. They get beat up. Then I see them come to church. They get empowered, excited. They go back out. They get in the world. They get beat up again. They come. I mean, you can see them. Their tails are dragging. Between their legs, they come walking in. You see the fiery darts. If we have the lights down, everybody turns around because it lights up in there because you've been getting hit all week. The fiery darts are just lighting up the room. And it's like, pray for that brother or sister, you know. They've been hammered this week. Of course, I'm speaking spiritually. Now, you know, this doesn't mean the unsaved person never does anything good. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that the believer never does anything bad, because the believer does. But what it does mean is that their lives are entirely different. You see, the one lives for the flesh. The other lives for the Spirit. It's like as we studied last time. The new nature in us as believers, on its own, cannot conquer or have victory over sin in the body. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working against that old nature. The Holy Spirit does that. A.W. Tozier said, before we can be filled with the Spirit, the desire to be filled must be all-consuming. Listen to what he says, man. I mean, the guy was right on. It must be for the time the biggest thing in the life, so acute, so intrusive as to crowd out everything else. The degree of fullness in any life accords perfectly with the intensity of true desire. He says we have as much of God as we actually want of him. Getting in the word, man. Getting into spiritual things. Guys, we can have as much of God as we want. The problem is, we believe him, we know him, we go to church, but then we're not living our lives continually minded of him. And so when something happens in your life, hits you like a lead balloon, man. It's like someone just dropped the shield and whopped you right in the kisser, right in the face. It's like, man, where did that come from? What is going on in my life? You ever have that happen? Every one of us has had that happen. Maybe that's happened this week to you. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit is saying, get back in, man. The water is fine. Don't stick your pinky in there to see if it's cold or hot. Get back in all the way. Swim in it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if we are really seeking after victory, if we really are, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with this sinful flesh. He's got to deal with it, man. I can't. I mean, from the time I first got saved, I realized that I couldn't overcome this flesh no matter how hard I tried until I finally turned it over to the Lord. I mean, think about it. Before we were Christians, those of us that got caught up into things, I could quit smoking for a while, but then I went right back to it. I could quit drinking for a while, but then I went right back in like a fish, you know, it's coming out my gills, man. I'm just, you know how we were. The drugs, everything else. We got right. I'd quit for a while, but man, I couldn't stay quit. You guys know what I'm talking about. But then when I came to the Lord and I realized that I couldn't stop any of these bad habits, I said, Lord, man, I'm giving them to you. I'm going to keep doing them until you take them away from me, because I know when you take them away, it's done. I'll never go back to them because your Holy Spirit did it. And I know a lot of you struggle with that. There's habits that you have that are hard to quit. Give them to the Lord. Be sincere. Just pray, Lord, I'm giving you this thing, man. It's hard, man. It's hard to quit. He knows that. He knows we're flesh. And I know it's hard. But man, when he gives you the victory, I'm telling you, it's done. It's over. It's finished. This is the Holy Spirit's work. It's the reason why he indwells us, besides sealing us until the day of redemption. Jesus said in John 14, verse 25, 26, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. You see where it points back to? If you want to give the Holy Spirit the artillery and that ammunition, it's right here. If you keep this sitting on the back dash of your car or under a shelf in your house, it's like having a gun with no ammo, and you're going to go target shooting. What are you going to do? Sit there and go, bang, 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 bang. Did I hit the spot? No, you didn't hit it. You're shooting blanks, you little blank head. Blanked in the brain, man. You need the ammunition. Guys, we need the ammunition. The time we're living in, how close we're getting to Jesus taking us out of here, we need to pull out the big guns, amen? Amen. The biggest we got, we need to pull out because it's on. Satan is going to try to rip your life apart. He's going to try to rip your family apart. He will put you and your wife at odds you would have never thought would ever happen. Some of you might have been there this morning. You're here by the skin of your teeth because you got in a big hair-ripping, face-ripping argument with each other. Been there, done that movie. Me and Steph been there. I know how the enemy is. I know his tactics. If he can rip you off, he will rip you off. It's that simple, man. It's as we yield to the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit will take the fight on. He'll take it on the flesh, and guess what happens? He'll give you and me the victory. We'll walk away with the victory, man. Paul gives us a picture of the flesh in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, where he says this, and you, Christian, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Did you guys catch them two words? You once walked according to the course of this world. Now that you're made alive, you can't go back and walk according to the course of this world. And I see Christians, you know, back and forth, one foot here, one foot here, one foot. It's like, what are you doing? You're never going to have any power to overcome if you keep going back and forth like that. He says, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Satan, Ephesians 6. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. We're not as Christians still conducting ourselves every now and then. We once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You know what, guys? This was the condition of every one of us in this auditorium until we were saved. Every one of us. Now, there's something else here that I want you to pay particular attention to this morning. The flesh includes the mind. How many of you know this is where the battle is? The battle is fought and won right here in the mind. It's like our minds are like landing fields. Man, everything's landing there, right? You need to put up a no more landing, airport closed sign. And not look at that stuff and get into that stuff no more. Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 21 to 23, and you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he, Jesus, has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Everything you'd ever think, say, and do, he reconciled on his flesh on that cross through death. Guys, the victory is 50% there. Just because he nailed it on the cross. And what did he do that for? To present you, I love this church, to to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. But there's a catch. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If you hold on, if you continue this Christian life. You see, if God showed me anything through the lesson this morning, it's that, man, I can't go out there and think that I can enjoy things in the world that I used to before I was a Christian, BC, and then live this Christian life at the same time. Church, we can't do that. We're a new creation. We're brand new. You really want to get technical about it? What Paul is saying here includes the whole personality, which is completely alienated from God. When I was out there partying, when you were out there partying, were you looking for God? Not a chance. It was about me, man. I got places to go, people to see, and things to do. I'm on a mission, like the Blues Brothers. End up in jail on that mission. Not only does the natural man strive for the flesh, Paul's saying, he says that natural man sets his heart on the things of the flesh. All right, Rick, well, I'm getting it. So what is the flesh? Well, I'm glad you're asking me. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21 says this. Here's the works of the flesh. You want to know what the flesh is. You want to know if you're doing the flesh. Here it is. You ready? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, which is worshiping something more than God, having God second, sorcery, which does include drug use. Man, when they passed that law to legalize marijuana, I said, we're moving there. Can you imagine our worship services? Not. I'd be ministering to him, man. Just because it's legal in our country doesn't make it biblical, doesn't make it morally and doctrinal right. Amen? Amen. Hatred, contentions, jealousies. How about this one? Outbursts of wrath. Ouch. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. How about drunkenness? How about revelries? You know what revelries is? Street drinking parties. Hello? Paul said, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things, church, listen to this, please. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, man, I don't want to get into the theology behind once saved, always saved, or working out your salvation daily, Calvinism, Arminianism. I love what Calvary does. Because we teach the Word of God, we take the middle of the road. I know I'm eternally secure. Jesus said in his great prayer, priestly prayer, John 17, no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Amen? Our name's written in the book of life, where we know we're going to heaven. But at the same time, I also know the other extreme. Because I am saved, guess what? You're going to know I'm a Christian by what I'm doing, the way I'm living. You see, all the acts are going to follow. All the works are going to follow. You see the balance there? It's dangerous to get one extreme or the other. One, you become legalist. The other one, you play slip and dip and take your chances. Either way you look at it, spiritual suicide. 1 Colossians 3, verses 8 to 10, Paul says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Christian, this is for us. Anger. Why is anger in every title there? You guys don't have any anger problems, right? Nobody in here? Does anybody ever get angry in here? Does anybody never get angry in here? I thought so. Man, I'm in a good crowd, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Here it is, church. And now you've put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Man, there is no other way around it, guys. No other way around it. Living in the flesh means defeat. You're going to live a defeated life? We don't want to live that. And it also means death. Not only physical in this life, but spiritual in the next life and eternity. That's what living in the flesh will do. You simply cannot be happy as a Christian living for the things of the flesh. You can't do it. When your mind is set on fleshly things, you go through all these. You get angry. You blaspheme. Filthy stuff comes out of your mouth. Those who live according to the Spirit are true, genuine believers. They've been regenerated. What's regenerated mean, Rick? Well, instead of being changed from the outside, instead of putting nice clothes on and looking good on the outside, regeneration means God does the work on the inside, the heart, the mind, the spirit. You've been regenerated. When you became a born-again believer, you were regenerated from the inside out. And God sent the Holy Spirit from heaven to take up residence in you. And he's living in you right now. And you know what? That means now we love the things of God. I can't wait for these doors to open, to come in here and worship, and man, to dive in and study the Word. Guys, who knows how much longer we're going to be able to do this? There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches that aren't teaching the Word anymore, man. In fact, there's even churches up here in the high desert. You can go in, you will never hear those words. Good morning. If you have your Bibles, please open them up to me to such and such. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. There are churches you can go to and they'll never say that. If I ever was on vacation and went to a church like that, 3 moments later, I'd be doing the smoking tennis shoe out the back door. Because I know the Word ain't going to be taught. I want the Word. Don't stand up there and tell me what you think. I want to know what the Word says. Because what God wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I didn't do what Dad told me to do or what Mom told me to do. Sad. But neither did you guys. Come on, man. We're in church. No liars in here. Wherever two or three are gathered, he's here. I want to do what God wants me to do. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. If then you were raised with Christ, and we have been, amen? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind, church, here it is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, everything we did out there in the world, everything we did, it's all hidden in Jesus Christ because he took our punishment. That means when he died, guys, we died with him because God has now made us alive. So here's the deal, if that's true, why are we going and doing the things we know we shouldn't be doing? And then coming back, and we're back and forth like a ping pong ball. I want to take that paddle and just smack that ping pong ball up against the wall. Just win. Why do we go back and forth? Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:10 when he was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy? A good brother in Jesus Christ. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was a real man. This was real 2,000 years ago. All that passed away, just like the Bible says will happen. Everybody that lived 2,000 years ago has died. People we read in our Bible, they've died. They've either gone to heaven or hell. It's just like today. If the Lord was to tarry for another 1,000 years, 1,000 years from now, they're going to say those people back in 2013. They read this, and there was some that left having loved that present world at that time. Doesn't it seem so foolish when you think on it on those terms? This is all passing away. It's all going to be gone. Look what Paul says in verse 6. He said, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Man, how many of you want peace in your life? To be carnally minded is separation from fellowship with God and living in the flesh. Paul says here it means death. But to be spiritually minded is fellowship with God. And look what it brings. Life and peace. It'll bring peace in your... Man, I want peace. I'm tired of drama. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of wondering, now what's going to happen next? I mean, you ever get to that place you find yourself saying that? What's going to happen next? I want life and peace. It means having a spiritual mindset. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked." They don't have any peace. They're living moment by moment. They don't have a future. Well, they do, but we know it as a future in hell. But to us who are Christians, we have a future. If I lose everything I possess today, I have Jesus. He's coming soon for me. And I am going to enjoy everything He's prepared for all eternity. This ain't nothing compared to that. Amen? You see, that's the mentality we need. That's what it means, setting your minds on the things above. It's knowing that and understanding that. You see, when we sin, we go to God. We confess our sin to Him. What does God do? He cleanses us. He washes us. This is how you and I, church, are restored back into fellowship with the Father, when we confess. I mean, so many people today think they're really living. But biblically, it's only a substitute for the life God wants for them and what He has provided. I don't want second best. I mean, how many of you would rather have first best than second? Amen? We want the best, right? We're not greedy. We just want the best. I see so many people settling for second or third or fourth best today. And then they're grumbling and, you know, they're all uptight and they hate their lives. And it's like, wait a minute. Didn't you have the power to choose what you wanted? Yeah. What happened? How come you didn't wait for God's best? I got tired of waiting. God's not listening, so, you know, I got to take things in my own hands. There it is. You know, I'm taking my hands off of that one. Just came out of your mouth. You did it. God didn't do it. What does peace mean? Peace means tranquility. It's a sense of everything is good and well in your being, even in the present and for the future. It's having that sense, hey, everything's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. That's the peace God wants to give us, church. He wants to give us that peace that inside we know, hey, it's going to be okay, man. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road, but man, it's going to be good. God's good. He's going to take care of it. We can do this. We'll make it through. Let me get a little personal with you. If today you are living in the flesh and you say you're a Christian, and again, I am not going to judge your heart. I don't know your heart. Only He knows your heart, okay? I'm just saying this because only you each individually know this. If you're living in the flesh and you say you're a Christian, I'm here to tell you foundationally, biblically, you are not having fellowship with God. In fact, you can't. Remember what Jesus said to Pete in the upper room, Simon Peter? There in John 13:8, when he was put that towel around him, got on his knees and started washing the guy's feet, got to Peter. Peter said, "You ain't going to wash my feet, Lord." Lord said, "Okay, Pete, hey, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me." You guys get that? I mean, is that sinking in? There has to be a washing. There has to be a cleansing. Jesus meant no fellowship with us if we are continuing in sin and committing sin, living in the flesh. He can't have fellowship with us. We have to come to the place where we say enough's enough. We have to get to the place where I did. April 4th, 1981, on a Saturday night at 10:30 at night, where I said, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. God, okay, if you're real, let's go for this, man. If you're not for real, I'll keep doing what I'm doing because I love it. I'll probably end up dying in it. And you know what? I gave my life to him. Start going to church and the rest is history. I always sat in the very back row. I never wanted to get any closer to that pulpit. And here I'm standing behind. You talk about God does things with donkeys? Come on, man. He uses donkeys. Look. You'll do it if you desire and you want to get closer to him. I was tired. I went to God. I confessed my sin. And I moved on with what God had for me. Well, Rick, you don't know my situation. I'm in a different place. I don't think God will forgive me. Hey, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, you ready? From all unrighteousness. All. Everything you could have done from the moment that doctor slapped you when you were born. And you went, where's my mommy? Where's my daddy? That guy just hit me. Everything you've ever done, man. You know, I looked that word up, all, from the Greek. You know what it means? All. Come on, church. You guys are Bible scholars, man. I'm telling you. God is faithful. He is. And it will take the blood of Jesus Christ to do it. It's a done deal, man. Now, if this isn't waking you up, then I'd have to say, as a pastor, I really don't think you understand how wicked your old nature is and how badly you need to go to God for cleansing. Here's the key, 1 John 1:7. Here it is, you guys. But if we walk in the light, the gospel, the Christian life, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, family, familia, brothers and sisters, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, God's son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Do you know as a believer this morning that your sins have been completely wiped out? That you have been totally cleansed? That God looks at you and sees his son? Do you know that this morning? Do you really understand that this morning, guys? If you do, it'll change your life because you'll want to remain in that standing. Here's the deal. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk in light. And if there is sin in your life, you're not walking with God. If we're in fellowship with God, walking in the light, then you know what's going to happen? Our lives are going to back up what we're saying. But if we're living in sin, walking in darkness, what's going to happen is our lives will contradict what we're saying, making us liars. It's making us liars. Man, you simply can't profess that you're having fellowship with God and all the time you're walking in darkness. John, the Apostle John, you could take it up with him. John says you're a liar. You can't say you're walking in the light and you're out there walking in darkness. It's pretty radical, man. Let me say this. If you're one of God's kids, and I believe you guys are, and you have sin in your life, which you could, we're sinners, saved by grace, God's not going to treat you like a non-believing sinner. God's going to treat you like a disobedient child. You know what that means? You are in for a whooping. There's going to be a can of whooping opened. You ever had a can of whooping opened? My biker buddies knew what that was all about. and it wasn't good. It wasn't a pretty sight. God will chasten you, man, so that you won't be condemned with the world. I know people who think they can somehow keep their old nature in line and live in it, and everything's going to be okay. But you know what that does? It leads to legalism. God don't want us to be legalists. What we've been learning here in Romans is what? No good thing comes out of this flesh. Not one good thing can come out of this flesh. I can't even care about somebody unless it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because my love is one-sided. It's one way. It's like, if you really love me, then you show me this and that. But when you get saved, it's, I'm going to love you regardless of what you show me. That's the way God loves us. It's unconditional agape love. You have to quit believing in yourself. You have to believe that God's Spirit can enable you through your new nature to live for Him and change your life. He'll change your life, man. And you'll look back and say, man, why did I do all those things? This is so much better. Oh, I would have traded it in a heartbeat if I knew it was this good. How many times have you heard someone say, man, I'm so discouraged? I've said that. Well, you know what that means? It means you don't believe God. Because if you truly believe God, you would trust that He has a purpose, a plan, and He has a blessing for you. I don't understand why tragedy hits all the time. I don't know why things happen in our lives that are so tragic. But I have come to the place where I'm trusting God that, you know what? I can't see this, the future, what it's going to do, but I'm going to trust God that He has a plan and a purpose in this. I'm trusting Him with my very next breath. Your part is to quit snibbling. Your part is to lay hold on what He has for you. Guys, if God would reveal to each one of you this morning what He has for you, I'm telling you, it would blow your mind. You'd want it. You'd want it in a heartbeat. The lack of God's blessing comes because we don't believe Him. Okay, Rick, wait a minute. I believe in God. What are you talking about, don't believe? Believe what? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Guys, it's not because of a lack of devotion. Real devotion comes not from man's will to show it. It's not me trying to show you how much I'm devoted to God. No. It comes from realizing that blessing has been received from God while I was yet unworthy, when I wasn't looking for it or for God. That's what makes me love Him more. When He blesses me, and I don't, you don't, none of us deserve it. We all of us deserve hell. Can't believe you said that. We're sinners. Without Jesus, that's where we'd be. And when God blesses me, I'm telling you guys, I'm just being open and honest before you, before God. When He blesses me, it just makes me fall in love with Him that much more. It's like, God, what more can I do for you? Nothing that we get from God comes because of us. We don't have anything to offer God. You know why it comes? It comes because God is so incredibly gracious. He loves you, man. He loves each of you. He loves me. Look at verse 7. Paul says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That word enmity means hatred. This is the carnal, the natural mind. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh, you guys got this? You can underline it if you like, cannot please God. This reveals how hopeless and utterly destitute the flesh really is. And you know what else it does? It throws out the window any theory that somehow mankind has any desires toward God. Because the truth of the matter is, the unsaved person lives to please himself and rarely, if ever, thinks about pleasing God. I never thought about pleasing God. I thought about pleasing me. before I was a Christian. It was all about me. Come on, man. I was on a mission. Mission from God. You know, when you get down to the very root of sin, what is the very bottom line root of sin? You know what it is? Selfishness. It's me. Mine. Kids learn it right from when they were born. Mine. It's mine. Give it to me. Biblical truth is man is God's enemy. Man is God's enemy. He's not only dead in trespasses and sins, man is also in active rebellion against God. He's fighting God. Turn TV on and watch the news if you don't believe me. Man today is fighting God. Everything that God stands for, man today is against and legalizing. Fighting him. In fact, man in his natural condition could never go to heaven. Why? Because anything his flesh could try to produce would never, ever be acceptable before God. Nothing would. Just like Cain. Cain brought of the vegetables of the ground. Abel brought of the sacrifice. Abel understood the principle that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins and there can be no atonement. He slaughtered an animal and he presented that animal to God, and it was a sweet-smelling aroma in God's nostrils. When Cain came with the carrots and the asparagus, the vegetables, God didn't accept it, man. Cain got mad. What'd he do? Killed the Christian. Killed Abel. Same thing going on today. Nothing's changed in 6,000 years. Same thing's happening today. Christians, you go along or you get killed. Same thing. Man, I think of all the religious works that people have done through the history of the church in the power of the flesh. No doubt they thought they were good before Jesus. I mean, they thought they had a place prepared for them in heaven. But what did Jesus say in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16? This is pretty scary, man. I hope you guys are ready for this. Jesus said, I know your works. I know what you're doing. I see what you do in the church. I see what you do out there in the world. He says that you're not cold for me. You're not totally against me. You're not hot for me. You're not on fire for me. He said, I wish you were either cold or hot, then the line would be drawn. You're either for me or against me. So then, because you're lukewarm, you're walking the middle of the road. You're neither cold, you're neither hot. I, Jesus, will vomit you out of my mouth, speaking of judgment. It's like men either go for it or don't go for it. Live in the flesh or live in the spirit. It's one or the other. You see, like Christianity today, 2013, the church in Laodicea, that's who Jesus was addressing here in Revelation 3. They were independent. They were on their own, man. They're doing their own thing. I can do this. They were self-satisfied. They were secure. But here's the thing that was happening the whole time. All this was going on. Their spiritual power was dying. And Jesus was standing outside the church, knocking, trying to get in. The spiritual power was drying. It was coming down to nothing. Folks, we need to understand when a Christian sins and refuses to go to the cross of Christ right away, deal with it now. Not only is he robbed of his spiritual peace, the longer he stays away from that cross, the harder his heart's going to get. When you blow it, go straight to the Father, man. God, you know what? I blew it. I know I'm an idiot, man. Forgive me. Get that washing, get that cleansing, get that restoration and fellowship. Because the longer you stay out there, the harder your heart's going to get, to where there will come a time that your heart is so calloused that nothing's going to break through it to get you back on track. Nothing. These believers in the church of Laodicea were dying spiritually because of unbelief and the hardness of their heart. You get to the place in your walk with Christ where you start ignoring the conviction of the Holy Spirit You're going to do something, you know it's not right, but you blow off the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And after a space of time, listen to me, church, it feels like God is no longer listening to you. You ever been in that place? You begin to feel like you're alone. No one cares. You're all by yourself. That anointing that once was in your life when you were on fire is gone. It's gone. You feel cold. You feel numb to the things of God, and your heart is calloused. Here's the warning. If you continue to live in a sinful state, you will open up the door for Satan to come in and totally rip your life apart and the life of your family. Totally. Rip it apart. Look what Paul says in verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Okay, Christian? Here, Paul's reasoning now with us. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. I went to Weiss' word from the Greek. He's got the whole New Testament from the literal Greek translation. Here's what this verse says. Listen to how it says in the original. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God really dwells in you. I love that. I love that, man. You see, a mark of a genuine Christian is that they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember what Paul told the carnal Christians in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19? He said, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You see, that's why you can't go out and do the things of the flesh, because you don't own yourself no more. When I own myself, yeah, I was on the way to hell, but I did what I wanted to do. I don't own myself no more. And this is the point Paul's making here. You remember the first time in his missionary journey when Paul went to Ephesus to see the Ephesians, the first time? He said something about the so-called believers. They were saying they were believers, right? But Paul sensed the people weren't genuine believers. And so what did he do? He asked them straight out. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Well, of course, you know the story. They didn't know what he was talking about. They answered Paul, hey, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Paul said in Acts 19:3, so then unto what were you baptized? They answered and said, into John's baptism. Well, John's baptism was what? A baptism to repentance. It wasn't to faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul preached Jesus to them. They received Jesus, and now they were baptized in his name. They became genuine believers. You know, I wonder if we understand that as believers, we are new creations. It's so easy to get caught up in what we used to do and hang around with people that still do that, isn't it? I mean, I'm just agreeing with you. I'm not saying you guys. Do we really love Jesus where we want to serve him? What is the depth of our love for what he has done for us and continues to do? Do we really want to get to know him? For you guys, I'd have to say yes, because you're here. We're studying the word. This is a hard message. I got up here first service and my stomach was going through 1,000 changes, man. I didn't want to do this. And it's like God spoke to my heart and said, hey, you don't have to do it, Ricky. I'll get someone else who will teach my people. All right, Lord, seeing how you put it that way, you just have to deal with them. Don't get them mad at me. It's your word, not mine. Do you love them to the place where these things are always in your minds and hearts? Are you consciously forever thinking about the Lord and his word and just things that have to do with his kingdom? Or is half the time you're not, or three-quarters of the time you're not, flesh or spirit? You see, this is where it comes down to. If this isn't the case, then here's what Paul is saying this morning. You are in rebellion against God. And the word says, his word, not Rick's, not mine. His word says you are an enemy of God. It's that simple, guys. Look at verse 10 as we finish here. Paul said, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Paul is saying you and I are in Jesus Christ. And guess what? Since we are in him, when he died, church, foundational, doctrinal, right here. You ready? When he died, you and I died with him. That's why you can't live by the flesh. We're dead. My brother-in-law that's getting cremated this week, he can't come back and live by the flesh. He's dead. He can't live by anything. He's dead. The moment he closed his eyes and looked, I believe he was watching the angels coming for him. Just like in Luke 16, verse 19, 31, the rich man Lazarus, the poor man, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Guys, we died with Jesus. This is a point Paul's making. We can't live by the flesh, period. We're dead. We're alive to Christ. Let me put it to you this way. This is pretty powerful. You might just want to hold on to someone near you or your seat. Can you say, as Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, you guys ready? It's going to hit you hard. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Rick no longer lives. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this stinking flesh. I added the word stinking, by the way, because it is. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. I don't live no more. I have a life that is dedicated by the Holy Spirit. I live for the Spirit. At least I try. I make mistakes like you guys do. But man, I get up, I wipe off my clothes, and God forgive me, and I keep going. I don't stop and lay there in my vomit. Like I did the morning after I graduated in the front yard in front of hundreds of people driving by seeing how stupid I was. Oswald Chambers said, you must be born again. This is not a command. It's a foundational fact. The characteristic of the new birth, are you guys ready for this one? Is that I yield myself so completely to God that Christ is formed in me. Did you get that? I yield myself so completely to God that Christ is formed in me. Thus, Christian, Christ-likeness. If you're not conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life this morning, and if you don't really have a desire to serve God, let me suggest to you 2 Corinthians 13:5. This was Paul's counsel and advice for the Corinthian believers who were bringing things of the world into Christianity. This is what he said. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you know for sure yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. In closing, if this morning you're not sure Christ is in you, he's got a 2,000-year-old invitation that still stands this morning. It's in Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, regardless of your background, regardless of what you have done, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I, Jesus, will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Well, Rick, that sounds really good, but I just don't know if that would apply to me. Oh, you don't? Let me give you John 6:37. Jesus' words. They're in red. That's how I know. He said, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Did you hear that? In other words, anybody that would come to him, he will receive, regardless of you, where you've been, what you've done, who you are, what's going on in your life presently. He says that for you. That means there's no excuse when you stand before God. The decision was yours whether to live for him or not. There will be no arguing that fact. So what are you going to do this morning? Are you going to live a dedicated life by the flesh? Or are you going to choose to live a dedicated life by the Holy Spirit? Let's pray.